Radio.
Whoops, that wasn't even a chord. Did you notice?
Nope. I just thought it was artsy.
Oh, we're already rolling. That's good. I want to use all this. I could hear that. Yeah, I could hear the guitar, but I think I'm just hearing it through the mic. But I don't know, maybe not. Turn my mic off. Okay. No, you're right. I hear it. No, that's okay. It's fine. All right. Well, this is the show. Welcome to Sing. I guess I should get to the mic. I keep my pick in the guitar. Do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I had Robbie Foulkes on a couple weeks ago, and he was confused by that.
Weird. Isn't that like what everyone does?
I guess, but maybe it untunes it.
I could see
or
that.
Or detunes it, or...
I don't think I have enough ear to care.
Yeah. I don't have an ear at all. Hi, Mackenzie.
Hi.
What's your last name?
Mazel.
Mazel. Mackenzie Mazel. I should have... See, I told you I don't do research. So you're on because a friend... My Facebook friend, I think I've met him in person too, but I'm a drunk, so Eric Esquivel, I'm sure I met him. He recommended you, and I went on I saw some of your YouTube stuff, and mm-hmm. I really liked it, and I said, and that's not even a criteria to get on the show, to tell you the truth, because I'm going to run out of people I like at some point. But you happen to be lucky
that I
like you. but yeah, I thought your stuff is, I don't want to insult you, but a little similar to mine.
I love that. That's awesome.
You know, it's kind of fun and quirky. And
yeah. No, that's what I like about yours too. I like that I think we kind of relate in certain ways.
I guess what I'm saying is, will you marry me?
Okay.
All right.
Take it up with Eric first, but yeah.
Oh, are you dating him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
We've known each other for 2 months,
okay.
And we live together.
Awkward. I wasn't really proposing. Believe me, I've had enough problems in my life. I just wanted to see what you'd say.
Anything to get ahead.
Me too. So how long have you been doing this? How long have you been, I mean, like committing to it? Let's just start with that.
Well, I feel like this is probably something most creative people do, but I would say that's kind of impossible to answer because mm-hmm. I'm super self-destructive, and so I'll work at it really hard, and then as soon as it starts to work out, I'll just back off of it. So
it's just lack of confidence, right?
Yeah, like everything's time things start to go well.
Yeah, like you were way too surprised and flattered to be asked to be on this show. I mean, seriously.
Yeah?
Yeah, this show hasn't even been on. It's nothing.
Yeah, but it's you. Like, you took an interest in me. That's crazy to me.
No. I'm nothing. No, you're still nothing, because I'm nothing.
But I don't mean it in that way.
I
mean, like, in a human way.
I know. I'm joking, too. I mean, you're not joking at all. But... No, I just can't take a compliment.
Even, me either.
Even as being,
so that's good.
Even as being a human. I don't even feel like a human. But so, yeah, so you, obviously people like your stuff and then you just, and then you back off.
Yeah, so, I mean, since I've moved down here, I've been serious about it the whole time, which is a real good run for me.
Mm-hmm.
I did a tour this past summer and... Everybody was just really positive and supportive and, like, made friends everywhere. And so it kind of just kept me motivated and...
Well, see, there you go. You are... It helps when people are positive about you.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, if someone likes me, mm-hmm. I'm unstoppable.
Yeah.
You know? But if I don't get enough approval, then, yeah, I put my guitar away and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Masturbate and cry for the rest of my life. Do I have to talk to Eric about talking to you like this?
No.
Good.
No.
Jesus, that guy. Really a bummer. Well, that's great. So you did. Where did you do the tour?
I did everywhere. So we did, I think, 12 cities. So started in Oregon and then just did a loop around the whole country.
Wow. And, how did you get this?
There's this website called Indie on the Move, and you can be super lazy. You just put in, like, I want to play these cities, and here's my email. And then they've got all the booking information, and they just send it out for you all in one go. So within, like, a week, I had the whole tour done.
Jesus.
It was super easy.
God
yeah.
damn it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, way better than talking to humans.
Yeah. And, like, did you... So how long was the tour?
It was, like, 3.5 weeks.
So 3.5 weeks and doing the same material over and over again, or did you switch it up at all?
I did mostly the same material because I... Normally I do solo stuff, but from time to time I'll work with other people.
Yeah.
And I brought a friend with me, but... She's not a musician. She's a comedian.
Uh-huh.
But I like to joke that I sort of Kim Deal'd her. I was like, I need a bassist. If I buy you a bass, will you just learn it and do it? And so we performed all the songs that we had time for her to learn in like 2 months.
Wow. Is this the person on your YouTube videos?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Savannah, yeah.
And you're playing drums with your foot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like a 3-person band and only one of you knows how to play, really.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus. And did you write at all while you were on that, or was it just taken up with just performing?
No, I did write, which was really nice because I'm somebody who, I don't know how other people write, but I kind of like to find a safe, dark little hole to be in. You know what I mean? There'll be like a part of my house that feels conducive to writing and I sort of retreat
with no
to there.
One around.
To, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like to write with anyone around.
Yeah, and that's how I'd always been. And then on tour, like something happened and I kind of felt in love with these different places and I was able to just write like... There was one time I was just sitting outside with people within earshot, and I just wrote. So it changed how I write.
Nice. And what? How different were the songs?
Or did
the process just change and the songs stayed the same?
Yeah, I think the process was just different because it felt pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit less, like, my angle is sort of making fun of myself for feeling the way that I do, and they felt a little bit more open about
and more
just,
confident, maybe.
Yeah, just like I am how I
wow,
am.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, so that trip really just changed your writing a little bit too.
Yeah, it felt like, and I was able to maintain it. Like now, I'm writing with other people, which sounded like the most horrible, terrifying thing in the world.
Yeah,
to make music while you're sitting next to a person who also makes music and could judge you.
Yeah,
so it's pretty crazy that it opened it up like that.
Because I did a little mini tour, as mm-hmm. you know, just because I told you right before the show, right before, you know, like last week, or mm-hmm. no, well, yesterday and the day before. And so I definitely, in my head, I was like, okay, I know what works now and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking, okay, I should write these kind of songs. And then that scared me a little bit. Like, am I letting my audience dictate what I'm writing? Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel that way?
Not really, but I guess because I don't feel like I have any kind of a choice over what I write. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's how you write, but...
I don't know. That's a good question because I feel like maybe subconsciously I'm always writing for an audience that I don't mm-hmm. even know is out there. Or
okay.
maybe I have like a certain person in mind when mm-hmm. I'm writing that I'm like, oh, he's going to love this or she's going to love mm-hmm. this or something like that. So then now I'm conscious of, oh, this is the kind of song that mm-hmm. the audience likes.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I'm going to, well, I might just let it... whatever happen
mm-hmm.
Because if I tried not to write that, then I might just get stifled.
Yeah,
completely.
Yeah, for me, any kind of thought holds me up.
Exactly.
Yeah, like I kind of feel like I didn't figure this out until recently, but with music that I don't like the first thing that comes to mind is that very, I don't know what that nails on a chalkboard thing is about like Christian music in particular mm-hmm. or some really, really canned sort of pop music, but there was always something that irked me, and then I realized I think it's because they sit down
it's
and they say, I'm gonna write about this.
Yeah.
And so you can just hear it every second of it.
Yeah.
So I just try not to like think at all, and I'm just like, let it come out. And I write a lot, so most of it's horrible, but then you get a few that are good. So that's just always been my method.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good method. What's your, like, is there a song right now that, first, I guess the first question is, like, what kind of audience do you have? I mean, right now you probably have a moderately sized audience and, you know, because you've toured so much. Have you, like, did you go around taking people's emails and all that and building a, like, a list, a fan list?
I didn't do that, but I did definitely keep in touch with people. Mm-hmm. I guess I was kind of, the dumb look on my face was because I just moved here. And so when I think about my audience, I think about physically, like who's in the room. And I'm like, I don't know, because they're everywhere because I just got here.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if people are request a certain song from you.
Oh, like when I play a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have that. Yeah.
Can you play that song?
Sure. Yeah.
I would love to hear it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let me hand you the stolen guitar.
Okay.
The stolen Andy Dick guitar.
All right, watch me forget how it goes.
That's all right. There's a, you got the pick. Okay. See, that's what Robbie started doing. He started playing, and I was like, the pick's in the guitar. He's like, what's the pick doing in the guitar?
Real musicians.
I know. Really established guys. They're a pain in my ass.
Okay, just do it?
And do it.
Okay. Up there. At this point, I don't care. 'Cause I don't think you know how long it's been since I've fucked someone. And I think it's been longer since I've loved someone. So we can make out on my floor, we can make out in your car, so long as we go somewhere. Hey you, I'm talking to you. Hey you, I'm looking at you. You seem like you'd be fun if you came over tonight. Let's make empty plans. Give me idle hands. I don't know if you know this, but muses can be hard to come by. So I want you to break my little heart until the well runs dry. Hey you, I'm talking to you. Hey you, I'm looking at you. You don't have to know me to know I'm fun.
No, it's great. It's great.
I'll get there.
I love that you threw the pick down, too. Keep going. Keep going.
Put your shoes on. See, I realized partway through that the song normally has a capo, so I'm just thinking about that the whole time. So I'll get there. That's it.
It's okay. We don't edit here either. And by the way, I do this all the time.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm so prepared. I'm like, this is the one everybody loves.
No, it's great. It's great.
Your shoes. It's trying to find that high note when I'm not done at the capo.
I did a song on a podcast the other day, and I started coughing in the middle of it.
I've done that, not on a podcast, but at a show.
Thought it was pretty cool.
Let's see.
Don't feel pressured to have to finish it if you don't want to. You could just tell us the name and we could look it up.
Okay, that works.
It's great though. I love it.
Thank you.
I love it.
We got through the important part.
Yeah, yeah.
The line that makes everybody laugh. That's why people ask for it. They're like, a girl talks about sex.
I know, it's great. Yeah, I have a lot of songs talking about sex and people are bored. Silly. The capo part is the part where you threw the pick away? Is that what it was?
No,
because you usually pick during that part.
Yeah, yeah. But it was just in the back of my head. I kept being like, oh, these notes are really awkward to hit because I didn't grab the capo. And then I was like, I'm a musician. I can do this. And then we got there and I was like, I panicked. I can't.
Yeah, I don't know anything about capos. I don't bar. I don't do anything.
Yeah.
But my big question is, when you throw the pick away, mm-hmm. that's how you wrote the song. You... with the pick and mm-hmm. then finger picking in the middle mm-hmm. of it. So do you do that every time you throw the pick away? Or do you have a special thing?
No, I mean, I pretty much do that. I guess there are certain things that it's just like, that's how it's formed. And so then, you know.
That's an interesting writing trick. I never thought about doing something like that where I just change the idiom, I guess it's called. Is that the right word?
Sure. I don't know.
Where I'm playing with a pick and then I go to finger picking, although I'm not great at finger picking, but maybe I should start learning.
Well, apparently I'm not either.
I'm going to rip you off.
Good.
What's the song called?
It's called Fun.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, where do you have, this isn't the end of, I usually do this at the end, but mm-hmm. it applies now. Do you have a website that people could go to?
Yeah, yeah. It's just my name, just MackenzieMazzell.com.
All right, we'll spell your name out and everything.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know it's probably not groundbreaking, but I was like a little bit floored when you floored my pick. I'm like, she just threw it down, and I almost ran to pick it up for you, and I'm like, oh wait, no, she's picking. She's finger picking now.
Would have been way cooler if I could have pulled it off.
Oh, well. Well, you were doing it. You transitioned. You just stopped because something happened. There's a capo thing that I don't understand.
I don't know. I always placate myself by saying I read in some magazine when I was little that Madonna would like go to dance auditions and then mm-hmm. she'd fuck up on purpose halfway through so that nobody would forget her. So when I fuck up, I'm always like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You're more memorable now.
Yeah, I mean, I can't obsess about fucking up because I do it so much.
I'm so glad. I do it every time.
Oh, man. It's like, I just can't think about it. Just can't mm-hmm. think about it.
Yeah. My last show, this guy came up to me and the compliment he gave me was like, it was really great the way that you just kept going. Thanks.
That was the weirdest compliment ever. Yeah, I've done it with one of the hardest things about a band, a whole band, is because usually when I'm playing by myself, you know, in front of people, if I screw up, mm-hmm. I could adjust for mm-hmm. it in some way.
Yeah.
But the band will get lost. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I'm on a D chord now. Why? Every now and then I'll just have to stop and go, sorry, everyone, I fucked up. I'm with real musicians and I'm the idiot. But they always like it.
Yeah.
When you do that, just be honest.
No, people, I realize people love that. Like, people love anything human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know why? Because mm-hmm. music is so inhuman now. It's like mm-hmm. robotic voices and, mm-hmm. you know, it's just so boring.
Yeah. I was listening to something on NPR and they were talking about the technology of, I don't know what the actual term is, but fake drums. And they were saying that the experts in the field are now working on programming in like little inconsistencies so that it makes us feel human.
Jesus. Let's cut out the middle, man, right. And just be fuck-ups.
Right? Just have a human.
Yeah. I was watching, well, when we were in Portland, I went to Portland with my daughter and her mom, my ex-wife, and none of us have real TV. So we were at an Airbnb and they had some real TV and The Voice was on, which mm-hmm. I had never seen. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
It's like American Idol, only the person who comes out and auditions starts singing and the four celebrities aren't facing her mm-hmm. and they're just listening, or her or him.
Mm-hmm.
Funny that I defaulted to her.
Mm.
I'm a feminist. So they're not facing the singer, and if they like that performer, they hit a button and turn around
mm-hmm.
Separately.
Okay.
And that means they want to work with this person and train them, okay. you know? Mm-hmm. So sometimes two or three of the celebrities will turn around and they mm-hmm. have to compete for her, you know.
Okay.
So she gets to pick, or he gets to pick mm-hmm. which celebrity to use. So it's kind of an interesting idea.
Okay. Yeah.
But the voices are so boring. Like the ones that they love are like, you know, and every time someone hits a high note, mm-hmm. the audience applauds and stands up, and it's just really predictable. Is my phone ringing? Yeah. My friend Tom always calls when I'm doing it. He's got some kind of sense. what was I going to... Oh, so the voices are so boring and, you know, technically good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just what you hear mm-hmm. on the radio all the time. And that's what they would say. The celebrities are like, it's amazing. It's like I'm listening to the radio. I'm like, God damn it. Shouldn't that be a clue?
See, and I love to hear you say that because I'm always questioning my own motives on things. And I hate that. Like, I don't like hearing the voice that's the same voice I've heard a million times.
And I think you have a good voice. I don't have a good voice. And I, you know, I'm fine saying that. But I also like bad voices. And I think I've always liked bad voices. And I don't think it was because I have a bad voice. I just don't respect that. I mean, I don't mm-hmm. mind a good voice. Like, Simon and Garfunkel, I'll mm-hmm. pick Simon every time, though.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a bad voice by any stretch of the imagination, but he's not like, you know, hitting those high bridge over yeah. troubled water notes.
No, but I was literally having this exact conversation yesterday that it's so unattractive to me to hear this voice that's just perfect. Like some of my favorite artists are people who can't sing.
Yeah.
But it's so expressive. Like I think that I like that they're doing it in spite of their skill. Like, they've got this thing that's coming out of them that they have to make.
Right, they probably could be good singers.
Right, but yeah. they're just like, it's this frantic, yeah. like, I have to make this song exist
because exactly.
I feel it. I love that.
Not me. I can't sing worth a damn. But, so, that's part of my story. So, I walked in as they're watching the show, and they said, oh, we heard someone on this show that sounded like you. And I'm like, oh, wow, did he win? And they just laughed at me. No, he got axed immediately. Like, but I would have wanted to hear first of all, I'd want to hear someone who sounded like me on TV. Mm-hmm. Second of all, what do they think I really sound like? My ex-wife and kid
yeah.
probably think I sound like a screeching owl or something.
You have a good voice, though, and I'm not just saying that to be like, oh, you said it's not good, so it's good. Like I said, I really value expressive and unique voices.
Right, I'm
like
just saying I don't hit the notes, and I'm flat a lot.
Really?
I think so.
That's just because I don't have an ear then.
Oh, good. Well, I need more people out there listening.
Because that was the first thing I thought. I was like, the only requirement for good is like technically hitting the notes. Oh. And as far as I can tell, you do. So there
well,
you go.
Oh, boy. Well, how many songs of mine have you listened to?
I don't know.
Where did you hear
them? Stuff that's on Skull Juice.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, you have no ear whatsoever. That's great. Somehow you hit the notes, though. You get lucky a lot. Do you ever write thinking, I want to sing something differently? Like I want to do a higher... Yeah, because I don't, but...
Yeah, no, I write stuff that I can't sing all the time. It's really frustrating.
Well, I mean, I guess I do all the time, too, but it's not conscious.
Yeah.
But you consciously try and go out of your range a little bit.
No, I mean, nothing... I mean, I keep coming back to it, but, like, nothing I make is on purpose, that's for sure. It just comes out, but
right.
I've written a lot of songs that... I'll be writing it, and then I'm like, oh, shit, if I had this kind of voice,
but
then the chorus
I'm
would sound like
do
this.
It anyway.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I've definitely gotten made fun of, like,
yeah.
in nice ways, but people are like, oh, you thought you could hit those high notes.
Yeah.
I <tried. laughs>
Well, I have a song, you know, on my upcoming record.
Ooh.
Yeah. And that I'm producing and buying, and, you know, I'm just going to buy all the copies and give them away. But literally, I think that's what I'm going to do. Who's going to buy it? And I know you're thinking, I'll buy one, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to give you one. But because you're on the show, we got to pay you with something.
Oh.
Yeah. And you got food coming later. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, so one of the songs on my record, so funny me saying that, is several people have said, you know, you can't, you should leave that off because you're not hitting the notes. It's you're kind of straining a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? How bad is it? Aren't I doing that with every song? I mean, Jesus Christ. So it kind of made me want to leave it in. Like,
yeah.
That I like making bad decisions,
mm-hmm.
you know? I had a song order because I want to release it on vinyl, and I put mm-hmm. all the songs everyone likes on the second side,
mm-hmm.
And people finally convinced me, come on, put a couple that people like on the first side, or they're never going to get through it.
And you convince them to listen to both sides if they do like one better than the other.
Yeah.
I think that's a good method.
Yeah, that's true. But I was like, if I buy a record, I'm going to listen. I guess I don't always listen to every song.
Yeah.
God, that's depressing.
Yeah, listening to the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I might just write on the album, please listen to side two because there's better songs on there.
Well, then wait, why even do that? Why not make it side one? Just because it has a better...
I think it's already being mastered. I don't know. Okay. I'm too afraid to ask the guy if he'll change the order.
Does it affect that in mastering?
I don't know. I have no idea what mastering means.
I don't either, but I'm pretty sure you can still change the order of things.
Okay.
Don't listen to me. I don't have an album. I don't know.
I'm listening to you. it doesn't take much to make an album. You just go and record the songs and pay $10,000. Then be poor.
That's all. Yeah.
Jesus. It's a real mistake. Yeah, so you want to hear the song I was talking about?
Yes.
I'm going to try singing it, and I might stop also because I kind of never remember all the words.
Okay. I know a good person would be hoping you nail it, but I hope that you fuck up as much as I did so I feel better.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm going to fuck up.
Okay.
Although, what if I don't now? Okay, I already fucked up. New York is snowing. My eyes are rolling toward the scars on my back. From the dirty gray summer when my heart was number and under attack. Instead of the sentence of passion repentance, I went on a trip to a darkened dungeon where my ego was bludgeoned as I bowed to a whip. And did you ever feel the pain? Skin that frees the blood that beats from your heart, cuts and welts all feel the same and leave a memory like published book art. New York is snowing, a blanket's rolling over gray, dirty streets. Carry the colors, some brightest, some dullest, some malicious, some sweet. I stare from my window and I notice a sin go back to where it belongs. And I hear my and filled up with songs. And did you ever feel the pain? Skin that frees the blood that beats from your heart, cuts and welts all feel the same and leave a memory like published book art. Just want to get to this part here. Oh, New York is snowing. Snowing and thoughts are flowing that were locked up and lost. drama. See, I can't remember the words. But I wanted to get to that high, really high part. The whole thing I'm stretching, but that part really gets me.
But see, it's exactly what we were talking about. So first of all, I just want to say, I think that's my favorite thing that I've heard you do.
Oh, really?
I love it. I love it lyrically.
Well, it's on the album.
I'll try and buy one and you can give me one.
And the lyrics keep going.
But I really liked it. It felt a little bit different, like a little bit, I guess, like a dash of poetry in there. Like, I liked that your stuff is very straightforward, but I also liked how that one was a little bit more abstract. But the high parts, like, because I knew that that's what I was supposed to be looking for.
Yeah.
Maybe just because I'm weird, but I liked that the best. Like, I like things that are bold. Where
well,
you're
they sound a little emotional, mm-hmm. even if I break.
Yeah. No, yeah. I really liked that. It's very genuine in that way. Yeah.
Good. Well, tell that to Eric.
Okay.
He's going to be a runner throughout this whole podcast. Yeah, so that was, you know, I played that song for the band, and when I was recording it, I saw like a bustle going on the other side of the window, much like when I was playing it now, and I saw a bustle of everyone leaving. That's really heartening when you're playing a song and everyone leaves the room. But I said, "What are you guys talking about?" And Io, the bass player, said, "Oh, I was just telling our engineer what the song was about." And I'm like, "What do you mean? I mean, it's just, you know, it's about us and them." Mm-hmm. No, it's about 9/11, right? I'm like, "No, it's not about 9/11. Didn't you tell me it's about 9/11? No, I never said that. I wrote that before 9/11, actually. So, yeah. No, it's just a song about S&M. That's all.
I like it.
I got a couple of songs like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I write about sex. Are there themes that go through? I mean, I think I've heard you sing that song before, unless I'm thinking of a song, and I'm not meaning it's similar song-wise or even thematically, but I think a lot of your songs are very kind of like you described mine, just straightforward mm-hmm. and about relationships and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But I've heard a couple of your songs, and is there a theme to your stuff, or do you have like a wide range? Because I haven't heard a ton, and mm-hmm. I'm going to. But.
Well, I mean, and the thing is that I'm bad about putting music out there. I feel kind of cursed. I haven't been able to make an actual album yet.
All you got to do is, like, sing into your iPhone. It yeah. sounds great. Yeah. I would buy that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just put something real, just yeah. like lo-fi, like
I
you
like
said, just
lo-fi.
On the phone.
I mean, the guy from the Mountain Goats, John Darnielle,
yeah,
used to do that.
That's true. Yeah. yeah.
That was on fucking shitty tapes.
Yeah.
iPhones
Some people
way
I love are like that. Yeah. yeah. Kimmy Dawson did that too, just like sitting in her apartment with a tape recorder. Yeah.
No, you should definitely do that.
Okay. Maybe I will.
Yeah.
No, I'm really bad at describing myself, but my mom described me as making music that's autobiographical, and that felt really generic at first. I'm like, so is everybody's. And then I was like, well, no, you probably nailed it. Like, I definitely talk about just what's right in front of my face. So that could be anything. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, so is everybody doesn't really mean anything because mm-hmm. you're an original, specific person.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
autobiographical
true.
Means something different to everyone.
Yeah, you know? I like that. Thank yeah. you for making me feel not just like everybody else.
Ah, sure.
Because we all are, yeah. yeah, so I'd say it's just kind of through that lens. I really hate that I write about relationships a lot.
No. Well, why?
Because that's what everybody writes about.
Yeah, but it's your take on relationships.
Yeah,
you know, Elvis Costello wrote about relationships, but they're all such different types of songs, you
yeah.
know, and so are yours, the two or three I've heard. But they're fun takes. They're cool takes on it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try to make it, I don't know. Well, like we talked about, just honest. And I feel like I've never sat down and been like, this song is going to be funny. But then when I perform it, people will laugh in certain spots. And I'm
yeah,
like,
because
oh, yeah,
you're honest and you have... I don't know. What's the term that's not, I mean, I don't get insulted by the word quirky, but you might.
No. I like
That's
it.
Right. Are you into Jonathan Richman at all?
Who is that?
Sorry, I don't usually talk a lot, so now I'm coughing. My throat's all dry. And I don't have... I'm not professional. You know, professionals turn off their sound when they cough. I'm just wheezing and I got snot.
Like we said, it's just human. It's good.
It's human.
Feel more connected to it.
I once wrote a song for a girl called Red Face because she was always embarrassed because her body would make all these kind of sounds and stuff. And squirmy, squirrely, you know. And I wrote a song about that and sang it to her. And she hated it, of course, because she's embarrassed.
But it sounds like it'd be adorable. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. She didn't like it.
Aww. I think that's really cute.
But it wasn't a great song either. But it tried.
That would help.
It tried. It was, you know, one of my first.
Yeah. Plus, you give more credit to things that are about you. At least that's what I would think. Just be stoked that there's a song about you and then analyze it.
I might revisit it because maybe it was the way I was playing it and singing it too. Mm-hmm. I have like a really bad recording of it.
Yeah.
But it might be worth salvaging in some way because I'm not getting any younger. But what was I saying before?
Jonathan something?
Oh, Jonathan Richman. Mm-hmm. It's great that you don't know him. This happened to me a lot, too, where I'd get compared to a lot of people. They're like, you must be a fan of the Dead Milkmen and all this. And I'm like, no, I actually don't know their stuff. I think I got compared to my friend and I used to write songs together, too, and play them. And we got compared to the Violent Femmes. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know them at the time.
Oh, wow.
But I love them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, cool. But I think I've gotten a lot of... I was influenced a lot by Jonathan Richman, and he started out as like a proto-punk kind of guy in the early 70s, and as soon as his band was ready to get signed and everyone, he was going to be the biggest hit in the world, he's like, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to write cute songs about being in love and, you know, and make kids laugh and stuff like that. So the next part of his career was writing children's songs and, you know, you know, your voice sounds like a bird and shit like that. And then he's gone on from there and he writes, you know, he's like in his 60s now, probably. I think he's like a little over 10 years older than me. And so he's writing really great songs about relationships, but you would like him a lot, I think.
Yeah. I'll look him up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I got to say about him.
I love that pivot, though. That's crazy that he went from, like, punk to kids' music.
He is the ultimate punk. Because people would show up and say, play Roadrunner or play Pablo Picasso. And he's like, no, I'm going to play Buzz, 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 the Honeybee. And and I'm Nature's Mosquito. He's got a song called I'm Nature's Mosquito.
I love it.
It's all about a mosquito, like someone questioning, why are you even here? We all hate you. And he's like, there's something, somebody made me for some reason. I got to be here for some reason. That guy. I met him. He's, you know, his songs are like really happy and sweet and giving. And I mean, he's certainly a quirky guy, but a real... like everything I said to him, he was a contrarian, basically. But not in a bad way. Maybe I was just always wrong. I don't know. But he'd go, no, that's not really why. He's got a real nasally voice. He's from Boston. I think you'd like him. Yeah. Trying to think who else you'd like. Who do you like? Who have you been inspired by?
That's always a terrifying question.
You have to answer it.
I know. I should get good at answering this because people are always like, who are your influences? I'm like,
I know. It's a dumb question, but I want to know.
No, and it's good. This is practice. I'll learn to answer this like a grown-up real musician. I think it's
weird. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a songwriter.
Yeah.
Maybe you're influenced by a painter or a friend who's just quirky and does whatever they want and shit like that.
I like that thought. Yeah, I mean, I guess probably kind of earlier I mentioned Kimya Dawson a friend of hers, Paul Baribeau.
I guess probably that.
Yeah, they're everyone knows Kimmy Dawson from the Juno soundtrack. She did that. It was just really, really simple, honest. She knows, like, you know, well, that was going to be condescending to me. She knows, like, four chords. But really, like, most of her songs just stick to a few chords and a few strumming patterns just because she's got something she wants to express. And so I like that it's really basic and genuine, like Leonard Cohen.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Just, yeah.
That's how I felt like Leonard Cohen was. Like, he was a poet and he's like, well, I'll learn two chords.
Yeah, and I like that. And maybe I just like that because I only learned two chords, and so I'm like, look, I'm not a bad musician.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there is a connection between being like that and genuinely liking that, you know? Because I genuinely like, Leonard Cohen and very simple, you know, lo-fi kind of things.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of shame in the musical community in liking things that are accessible, and I don't think that's fair. Like, I like things that you can just sit down and like it on the first go and connect to it, and maybe it's because I'm not smart enough to get into, like, you know, the very complex jazz or whatever it is that I'm supposed to be into, but I like simple.
Yeah, I always get into this argument with musicians because I don't like Steely Dan. And they're like, well, you got to be a musician to like him. And I'm like, well, fuck you. I'm glad I'm not a musician.
That makes me so happy.
Gotta be a musician. It's insulting on so many levels.
Yeah. Like, that's your definition of musician. Like, the person who sat down and studied, you know, theory and all that. Like,
yeah.
Doesn't feel like the point of it.
I love a simple sound. Like, one of my favorite songs of Bob Dylan's, he doesn't even sing on it. Do you know his album Self-Portrait at all?
Mm-mm.
There's one line, one lyric. It's like, all the tired horses in the sun, how am I supposed to get any riding done? That's all. It's sung over and over again by women. I think black women. Maybe I'm being sexist and racist. Maybe they're white men, but they sound like black women to me.
Okay.
Really, and soulful. But it starts out very quietly and builds. It's almost like a classical piece, and then comes back down again. If I'm not mistaken, I haven't heard it in a while, but it's a very, very simple song, and it's one of my favorites of his. And, you know, here's a guy who's known for too many lyrics, you know. But maybe that was it, too. It was like, oh, a break from Dylan on a double Dylan album called Self-Portrait. So, yeah. Are you into Dylan at all?
Yeah. One of those things that I ought to be into more.
I'm not that into him.
Yeah, you know. That makes me feel better. Yeah. I just started listening to him a couple years ago. When I was growing up, I was kind of this hippie kid, and everyone was like, you'd love Dylan. And I was so rebellious that I was like, that sounds dumb, because you told me to like it. So I didn't get into it.
I was that way with Jonathan Richman, Elvis Costello, everyone.
Yeah.
You know, we're contrarians.
Good. Okay. Makes me feel better.
Yeah. So now you're playing drums. Do you play drums normally too?
Yeah.
Because you have a beat. Like, I don't even have rhythm. So it's great that you have rhythm. I was actually playing the other day with my other guitar that has a whammy bar on it. And it was turned up toward me for some reason. I never use it. I usually put it away, but it was up toward the middle of the guitar. And I was playing, and it sounded like people were clapping along. And I'm like, it's almost throwing me off. And then I got done with the song, and I was like, no one was clapping, right? Like, the audience, I asked them. And they're like, no. I'm like, and why am I playing? And then I realize I'm hitting this thing, and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm hitting this thing. And I guess I did have some rhythm, because it felt like they were clapping along the time. So that astounded me that I actually, but so you play some drums.
Yeah. That's what I did before guitar. So I'm much more comfortable with drums.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Guitar is something that it's like, it facilitates songwriting easily, but I never have felt like it's a tool for me, but when you have people who are like so expressive with guitar and they can, you know, I don't feel that connection. It's just like the groundwork under a song.
Right. And so what do? You tie a stick to your shoe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do the bass drum just normal, and then I use duct tape and I tape a drumstick to my left foot, and I have a little stand for the snare. Yeah, everyone's always like, you know, you could use a pedal. And I'm like, yeah, but the entire room stops and stares at you when they hear that duct tape. So no, I'm going to keep being a weirdo. Yeah. And just,
and it sounds great.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Is there something in you that feels like you need to hear that beat when you play?
Yeah, it helps a lot with songwriting for me. Because I don't know about with you, but for me, when I make a song, I don't hear just the guitar and the vocals. Like, I hear a whole song happening behind it.
Wow.
And so
that's completely the opposite of me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But no, that's fascinating.
Yeah, so it just helps me to, like, you know, there are certain songs that I'll just do the bass drum for a while and then, you know, alternate between the two. And, like, it lets me just kind of pull one more piece of all those things that I hear. And sometimes it can help finish it if I can hear more of it out loud.
Yeah, that's interesting because with me, I don't even hear the guitar, really, you know. I just hear the melody and some words.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, great, now I got to pull out the guitar. Like, is it really going to be C and G again? Oh, boy. And then, you know, I write most of my songs and then I take it to the band. Mm-hmm. And even when they're adding stuff to it, they literally say to me, so do you like this? And we're playing. And then they stop. They go, did you like that? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I loved it. I didn't hear a thing. I'm just making sure I'm singing at the right point. You know, I'm concentrating on me. And like, I'll go, well, what about the bass on that? I'm like, well, were you playing bass? I can't hear bass. You know, I can't hear anything. And so we played these songs out like maybe 10 times. And then we decided to record and we mm-hmm. recorded all the stuff. And I started hearing it back and I'm like, that's what those songs sound like. I had no idea. They sound good.
But see, I do that too. I chalk it up to flow. Like, I kind of feel like, and maybe this is just me justifying that I'm not paying attention, but if I'm playing with other people, I like to think that I'm just in the moment and I'm not picking it apart and the pieces are just coming together. And then when it's recorded, you're not there.
Right.
And so you can be
more. Yeah, you definitely have some objectivity.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you, you hear more of the music when you're playing it live than I do. I just hear a bunch of noise that I'm trying to fight through so I can sing my goddamn song. I'm like, could you guys keep it down? The band is just in my way. It's ridiculous. I have no business doing this, which is why I have all the business in the world doing it. Yeah. So that's interesting. Like, I guess I've been consciously trying to think of background vocals now when I write songs. And even now that we've recorded, when I'm recording my demos with just me and guitar, I'll go, because most of my songs are 2 minutes. And I'm like, well, why don't I just play a whole verse just with my guitar and that'll give them a chance to solo or something, you know, and I just think about it that way. So now I'm leaving like 2 solos a song and shit like that in there because I'm like, let the band have some fun. It's just all me. And then a couple weeks ago, I came in here and recorded a song with, I don't know if you know Jeff Davis at all. Why are you laughing?
What? Isn't that how? Because Eric had said that in like the email to you or something.
Someone said it. Was it Eric?
Written a song about him.
Yeah, about Jeff Davis. Yeah. 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 Tell him that almost made me not contact you. That guy doesn't need any more validation
in his life. I thought that as I was writing it. I was like,
you have a song about Jeff Davis. Yeah. Should you play it?
I could.
All right. Well, let me finish the story and then you can play it.
Okay.
'Cause I'll forget what I was talking about.
Okay.
it's going to validate him even more. Because I was doing the song and I was like, oh, he was here with his girlfriend, Church. Mm-hmm. And sorry, he's got a girlfriend. I know you wanted to
have
like
a... Who I also have a crush on, so it's fine.
Oh, maybe you and Eric and him and Church can all get together and I could be outside of the room jacking off or something.
Let's
sorry. But they came in and sang background and I was like, holy shit, this is great. You know, I mean, I had some idea of like what the background could sound like. Like I knew it should have like do. Mm-hmm. That was it. Mm-hmm. But they actually made it a song. They made it musical, you know, and it was really great. So now I'm kind of thinking in that direction, mm-hmm. too. So it's interesting, like playing with other musicians and other artists, mm-hmm. that kind of helps the songwriting process too, right? You didn't know I was going to throw it right at you. You thought I was just going to make a statement. Then I added a right at the end of it and it caught you off guard.
No, because I guess I don't think of it that way, but I think that I'm...
Right, because
you call an asshole, maybe? I come in and I'm like, here's everything that I want, every second of it, do the shit that I say.
See, well, you're a real producer artist, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, take it.
Okay.
You are.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I think my great strength is letting people kind of do what they want and adding to the skeleton that I bring to life. Kind of sounds morbid, but...
No, I think that's really valuable because I think for me, whenever I collaborate with people, I have to go through this process of saying, I'm relinquishing this. I'm only involved this much because it just... When I was younger and I would collaborate with people, it would get really negative because I was like, I already decided how all of this is going to go. And it's like, well, then why even work with other people? So for me, it's really an exercise in patience to just like, okay, I'm just going to breathe and not control every aspect of that. And it's like, why be in a band if you're going to be a control freak that way? So I really like that you're more that way about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's great. We just have different ways of working. And certainly it's good to come in there with ideas. And I do a little bit. But not as much. Even with my TV shows, when I started the show that I did, Moral Oral, I wrote the 10 episodes before anyone was involved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a very, that first season is very formulaic and whatever. And I knew I wanted to make it something different. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sure what yet, you know. I wanted it to be real, you know. Mm-hmm. And but I just made it a comedy. I know there's a lot of... stuff happening on that screen right now. they're tinkering in there. But so I wrote everything and then brought the actors in and just hearing the voices and even just talking to them about the characters, it informed the second season and then third season mm-hmm. even more, and it became something that we all made together mm-hmm. in some way, you know?
Yeah, which is, I think, how you make something better. Like, that's definitely been my experience with music. Anytime you collaborate, you create something bigger and better than yourself. I'm just spoiled and an only child.
Well, let's not get carried away. I mean, there's nothing greater than me. But
it
was better. Third season was better than first season, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
No, you're right. You're right. It was better than me. yeah, but there is something to the idea that you have a picture in your head of like what this song is going to be. I mean, that's enviable to me because I would, and I think maybe I could get better at that the more I write and the more mm-hmm. I work with people.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear your stupid Jeff Davis song.
Well, okay. Here's the thing though. I haven't been nervous this whole time. And then you said do the Jeff Davis song and all of a sudden I'm fidgety and sweaty and I don't know.
I won't let him listen to this episode.
Okay. Hang on. I just realized that my bracelets might hurt your expensive guitar.
She's actually slipping off her wedding ring.
Okay. Hang on. Let me make sure I know what I'm doing.
And, by the way, if you screw it up, I'll be all that happier.
Oh, good. Okay. let me just make sure I know how the bridge was going. Okay. Cool. We'll see.
All right.
All right.
Love it. And hate it at the same time. Okay.
I know. I feel that way about myself for writing it. Don't worry. Okay. This is called You Suit Me. Ha ha. Puns. Okay.
I know. I like that. I like the title, to tell you the truth.
I have to say, full disclosure, definitely, I didn't come up with it. I'm bad at puns. But my best friend was like, oh, I'm hilarious. And I'm so...
I feel like
just to make
with,
it clear,
I feel like with songs, it's not a pun, it's poetry.
I'll take that. Okay.
Oh, now you'll take it. Now it's your idea. Now that you like it.
No, I just meant I'll accept it as not being a bad pun. All right. Let's try and survive this. There's really nothing to be said for it. I guess there's nothing to be done. A fleeting fantasy is all it is. At the moment, you're the one. The one I think of when I'm in my bed. You're on my mind when I'm alone. I play it over in my pretty head. I make believe that I'm in love. I squeeze my pillow tight, dreaming of your suit and tie. Goodness knows what I would do if I ever talked to you. I wouldn't know how to impress you. I'd probably fumble with my words. Twirl my hair around my finger. Be a silly bumbling girl. And this is where the guitar solo goes. But it's just me. But I can take this time to say that I did meet him.
You
and he
did.
Asked my name and I forgot. You'll never know how much I like you. And you won't even know my name. It's just as well I never meet you. I'll keep you perfect this way. So if I'm ever feeling lonely, I just turn on my radio. Fall asleep to dreams of you and me. Wake up in love with someone new. Ooh, ooh, oh, 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 oh.
That's great.
Thank you. I did it.
Yeah, you got through it.
No fuck ups. Kind of.
So how long ago did you write that?
Gosh, maybe like a year or two ago, I think.
I like to think that you wrote it as long as the song is. Like, that's how long it took you to write it. Like, like you just sat down and magically came to you.
I mean,
it was pretty quick, right?
Would I be a dick if I said that's usually kind of how it is?
No, like, that's great. I could understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it took some fine tuning, but yeah.
That's the best way to write.
And
you know?
That one was really weird. Actually, I've never ever written a song like this, and I didn't even think about it until the second. But I was driving around and I had the radio on, and it was like late night. Jazzy kind of music.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, I'm just going to treat this like karaoke. And I just wrote my song over the top of the music.
Oh, wow.
I've never done that before.
And did you remember it later or you just kept singing it to yourself? Like, how do you do that? Because I have to record it immediately.
Yeah. That's what I did. As soon as I felt a song, I just pulled out my phone and like sang it while I drove.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then kind of pieced it together afterwards.
Yeah. That's yeah. how I do it.
Nice. Good. Yeah. I always wonder how people did that before iPhones. Like, I think about, like, Buddy Holly sitting there being like, I'm just going to remember this whole song.
Well, I'm not quite Buddy Holly's age, well, which is 13 or whatever. He died. But I used to call my answering machine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I did that when I was
Buddy Holly was probably just a genius.
And right.
He always had it in his head. Or he just was antisocial and said, I got to fucking go home and write.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. But that is a great way, like the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there should be so many better songs now because of the iPhone, but I don't hear them.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm of the belief that they're there. We just have so much shit
right.
to sift through now.
No, there is. There's just too much shit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we've got to keep our ears open for it.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm terrible
kind of like what I did with you.
Yeah.
And brought you here and to this podcast that, hasn't even been dropped yet. No one even knows it's out there. But maybe people will listen and then hire you, and then I could open for you someday. You think? Would you have me open for you?
Of course. When I'm super famous. Yeah.
All right, good. Let's end it there.
Okay.
I want you to remember that.
Okay. Deal.
I don't want to like bury it under like, hey, so how do you rhyme? Thanks for coming on Sing Songers.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
That was the good one. It was a good one. Not the good one.
Oh, okay.
Because I've had a lot of good ones. But I like this one.
Yeah. Me too, but I don't have anything to compare it to.
Yeah. It's good because I feel like we're probably the most similar to me anyway. Like I said, I don't want to insult you, but out of anyone I've had on here.
No, I'm glad to hear you say that because that's why it probably, because I'm kind of a narcissist, but I'm like, oh, I love this guy because he sounds just like I do. We write the same way.
Yeah, because I've had other people that I really respect and like, and they've given me good advice. But advice that I probably won't take.
Yeah.
You know, because I can't.
Rule, right?
Yeah. Well, because I can't. I don't do what they do. You know, they'll just say, yeah, you should pick and do a little E7th there and shit like that. I don't think anyone said that exactly because I don't even know if that's a thing. But, yeah, thanks. This has helped me, and this is really what this podcast is for.
Yeah.
It's just helping me.
Yeah,
I'm here to learn.
Well, good. Thank you for letting me come on here.
Yeah, and thanks.
Thank you for making
maybe
me
the
feel
food's
better.
Here and you could eat.
Oh, okay.
And you get food and a record out of this. All right, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Feral Audio.